Morning.
Morning.
It's spring, and I sound like I have allergies, and trust me, it is just allergies. And I made a very, very bad decision while doing this. While studying for this communion, I sat outside. I don't know what possessed me to do that, but I did. In all honesty, doing the Lord's Supper is a very humbling thing for me. I don't feel worthy in any way to do this. And while sitting outside, I began to stress and be anxious and get scared. And then I stopped and I realized something pretty important. It's not about me. So I prayed. I prayed, God, show me what you want me to say. And right then, the wind decided to blow ferociously, and my Bible opened itself to Daniel 7. I said, okay. And here's what I read. Daniel 7, verse 9. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Here in Daniel, it says that thousands upon thousands stood before the Lord God. And I sat outside thinking and thinking about offering praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as I thought, another time in the Bible came to mind where crowds stood before Jesus and cried his name. Luke 19. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olive, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near. Already on the way down was Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to them, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, then the very stones would cry out. These are two very different stories of crowds before God. You see, in Daniel, this is a prophecy of the end, where God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit sit as one on the throne, as every obedient and faithful saint stands before them. This is a moment of completeness, we read. A moment where we catch a glimpse of God's total control and power. But in Luke, we see a different picture. Yes, indeed, we see a crowd of people calling praise to Jesus. But unlike Daniel, this is not how the story ends. You see, people are fickle, and emotions change as the tides at sea. And Jesus knew this. He could see what was to come, and knew that pain was in the future for his people. And he also could see and knew that his very end lay just inside the gates of Jerusalem. Because he, and now we, through the book, know the end of the story. In Luke 23:18, we see another crowd. But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. And they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no guilt, deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate, deciding that their demand should be granted, he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And before that day would come to an end, an innocent man would be dead on a cross. We've read the book. A man known as Jesus. A man, yes, but our Savior. Holy man, holy God. Jesus understood, and he still understands, the way that people's feelings and decisions change. A crowd might come and go. Praise might start and stop. But he hasn't changed. And neither has his sacrifice. He doesn't care. He laid his life down, knowing our humanity, shedding his blood to forgive his people, to forgive us. This gift will never change. This is the perfection of him and his sacrifice, because he was our perfect lamb. And so we remember the sacrifice he made, the pain he went through, and the forgiveness we received. And we follow his command in the Lord's Supper. But we also look forward to Daniel 7. When that comes true and we see him again on his throne forever and ever, amen. And so now, in remembrance of him, the sacrifice he paid, the death he endured, we take the bread, which represents his body, broken for us. And the blood. Shed for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, praise be to your name. Holy are you, God. You and you alone. Thank you for this gift, this sacrifice that forgives us our sins and gives us a chance to live for you. Help us to remember this, to never forget it, to never let it go, but to serve you with all our hearts, to not let the crowd sway our feelings, but to only remember this sacrifice. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you do and who you are. In your name I pray. Amen.